Greetings, it's Brother Steve with the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. We are going through the prophecies, prophesying of Jesus' death in the Old Testament. And we started with the Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35, where the couple of disciples were walking to Emmaus after Jesus had been crucified and had risen again. And they were troubled, and they were walking along the road, and then Jesus comes up along them, and they didn't recognize him. And so he asks them why they're so sad, and they say, well, don't you know what happened, that we thought this Jesus, he's going to be our Savior, or he's going to be our King, he's going to redeem us from the Roman rule. And now they crucified him, and now somebody said that he rose up again. And so then Jesus begins to explain to them why Christ must die, and basically opened up the scriptures to them, the Old Testament prophecies. And so now we're going through that and just looking at what Jesus may have been referring to, which prophecies he was reading or he was quoting to them. And so we've been looking through some Old Testament prophecies, and then going to the New Testament to look at the fulfillment of that prophecy. And so this morning, we're going to go to Isaiah 53. We already touched a little bit on in that chapter yesterday. But we're going to just kind of go through that whole chapter this morning, as there's quite a bit just in that one chapter leading up to Christ. And I'm not going to look at all the New Testament references, but more specifically the ones that have to do with his death, his crucifixion. So Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 1, we're just going to read through it, and we'll come back and we'll pick out some of the highlights of it. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so openeth he not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify these. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. So we have here a very clear description of death and the sufferings of Christ in this prophecy by Isaiah the prophet, as he looked into the future and God revealed to him what would take place in the future when Christ came. So there was one more Okay, so we're going to start back in let's see, verse 5 for well, let's just go back and just look at some of this. Like in the first couple of verses there, it says, "For he shall grow up as before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness." It seems like there was nothing unusual about him, his appearance. He looked just like any other man, or maybe even, there was nothing, not like an extra beautiful or nothing beautiful about him, that was desirable about him. So just looked like an ordinary man. So people didn't really realize, okay, so something looks a little different about this man. So he despised and rejected the man, a man of sorrows. So think about how he was, he grieved with the people. He even where we have the account of Lazarus' death, where it says he wept. And even other time he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was he wept over the city of Jerusalem at one point. He's despised and rejected. He was hated by the multitudes, or especially by the religious people. And it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was," in verse 5, "but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And if we go to Matthew chapter 27, we then see the fulfillment of that verse right there. Go to Matthew 27. And verse 26. Says, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and it stripped him, and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews." And so there's where he was scourged. And then going on down through there, "All we like sheep have gone astray," verse 6, "we have turned everyone of his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In verse 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." And we had looked at that one yesterday, where he, in Matthew 27, verse 12 to 14, where it says that he did not answer, he did not make excuses for himself, or he did not try to defend himself. He just kept his mouth shut. "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." And there's another one that is fulfilled. That one there, I think I forgot to write down because I don't have that reference. But if we go to the end of Matthew there, and we see that chapter 27, verse 57. "When even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed." And so that's the fulfillment of where it talks about him making his grave with the wicked. He was literally put in a with the rich. he was literally put in a rich man's grave. Then verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And just giving a little bit of a picture of what Christ has done for us, bearing our sins, bearing our iniquities, and bearing the punishment of it in dying on the cross. And then verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. So that, first of all, we'll go to Mark 15. There it says he was numbered. Yeah, it says that the pathway down through there, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions. And then Mark chapter 15, verse 27, basically gives us that fulfillment of that prophecy, how Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. Mark 15, verse 27. And with him they crucified two thieves, and the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. And there again, a lot of these things, let's go on to the next one first there, verse 12, again, the other part of that verse is, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So, if we go to Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, then said Jesus, here's where let's just go ahead a little bit. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place where it's called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So there Jesus is praying for his persecutors. He's interceding for says he's made intercession for his transgressors. And a lot of these prophecies, people have already argued. Testament said, and so he could go along and he could fulfill those prophecies. And so that, in some of those cases, that's something he could control. But there's a lot of things there that he could not control. Just the whole, him being buried in the rich man's tomb, him being crucified with two thieves, him being beat and, his hair plucked out and his, all those kind of things. There's so many prophecies there that there was no way that Jesus could have known and made it happen in that way. So just a very clear proof of these prophets from so many years before, had God had given them a little picture of what was going to happen and how it was so perfectly fulfilled in the in Jesus' crucifixion. So we're going to end there, and we'll come back tomorrow and with a few more. So God bless you, and thank you for listening in.